Good morning. Miss Elaine Peebles Brown is a resident of Rochester Heights, a neighborhood in Southeast Raleigh. And as she stood before a packed room at St. Ambrose Episcopal Church, her voice broke. "Please forgive me," she said. "I'm a little shaky tonight. Today is the 100th anniversary of my dad's birth. Had he lived, he would be 100 years old today." Miss Elaine grew up in that neighborhood just around the corner from St. Ambrose, and she returned to her childhood home to live with her mother once disability sent her into an early retirement. And as housing costs rise, as the powers of gentrification and market speculation close in, she is watching the neighborhood she grew up in shift and change beneath her feet. Rochester Heights is one of two neighborhoods in Raleigh zoned for African American residents during the time of segregation. It lies in a flood zone. The city of Raleigh dumped raw sewage and waste there for 70 years. And yet the residents of Rochester Heights did the unthinkable. They cleaned up the mess that Raleigh had made, and they turned a flood zone into a thriving community. They made a home where there once was none. That night at St. Ambrose, Miss Lane was bearing witness to her community's perseverance, making a way out of no way, by sheer hope and determination, establishing the foundation for those who will come after us. I will return to her story in a bit, but suffice it to say that today's lectionary theme is perseverance. Almighty and everlasting God, our opening collect reads, "Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name." To persevere, to remain, to continue in a course of action even in the face of difficulty and with little chance of success, that is no small thing. We like the cleaned up versions of perseverance, though. The made for Hollywood 90-minute cut of the story, all guts and glory. It is Rocky Balboa. It is Friday Night Lights and Remember the Titans in every sports movie you ever saw. It is Frodo on his trek to Mordor with the One Ring. These are idealized versions of perseverance, and inspiring to be sure. But the practice of perseverance in normal daily life is boring and monotonous, an affair of putting up with uncertain, unfavorable conditions over real time. We cannot fast forward through the hard parts in life, my friends. The only way out is through. The only way forward is to take one step at a time. Then Jesus told them a parable. Today's gospel begins about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. "Easier said than done, Jesus." The parable of the unjust judge teaches us something by showing us the opposite of how the kingdom of God should work. It employs a popular method of Jewish biblical interpretation to illustrate its point. It is a Kal v'chomer argument, which literally means how much more, an argument from a minor premise to a larger one. If the unjust judge will grant justice to the widow, then how much more would a just judge do so? That said, the parable is less about an unjust judge than it is about a persistent widow and her quest for justice. Widows occupied a precarious place in first century society, having no husband to intercede on their behalf in a patriarchal system. Jewish law acknowledged this fact, which is why it is full of mandates to defend the widow's cause. "Cursed be he," reads Deuteronomy in the Old King James, "that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen, amen." The law says nothing less and nothing more. Under the law, a widow need not be specially destitute or morally righteous for her to receive just treatment. On the other hand, the unjust judge is the antithesis of the person you want sitting on the bench. He is a man who neither feared God nor had respect for people. Now, how these two things go together. Fear for God is meant to imply respect for people. In the parable, he is thoroughly uninterested in doing what the widow demands, and we do not hear the reason why. It could be mere laziness or a conflict of interest. Maybe doing justice for her would have undesirable consequences for him or someone close to him. In either case, he relents only because of the widow's persistence. And here, Jesus turns the widow stereotype upside down. This widow is not a helpless victim. She stands up for herself until she gets what she wants, until she gets the justice she deserves. Though I have no fear for God and no respect for anyone, says the judge, with remarkable self-awareness, mind you. Do you notice that? Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming after me. There is another way to translate this verse. The verb in the phrase that she may not wear me out is actually a boxing term. It can also be translated, I will grant her justice lest she come after me and punch me in the eye. Far from being a charity case, this widow is scrappy and resourceful, a self-advocate if there ever was one. And by her example, Jesus shows us what it means to pray always and not lose heart. It means prayer in private, but also in public. It means praying with our words, but also with our actions. It means praying as we steadily, relentlessly pursue the world not as it is, but as it should be. Let me return to Miss Elaine Peebles Brown and that night at St. Ambrose in Raleigh. Over the last 16 months, one wake, by the most recent count, a coalition of 46 churches, mosques, nonprofits, synagogues, they knocked on over 1,000 doors and talked to at least 500 homeowners about the issues that keep them up at night. Time after time, leaders like you and me, that's the word, what the word leaders means, just anybody that participated in this effort, like you and me, heard that property taxes were on their mind. In neighborhoods like Rochester Heights, property taxes have recently doubled. All of this is taking place while property taxes remain relatively stable in wealthier neighborhoods. That's what the forces of gentrification is doing to these low-income, long-time homeowners. And for people on fixed incomes, like Miss Elaine, that burden is significant. That is why she joined the effort to work with partners across the county to ensure that longtime homeowners had a seat at the table where decisions were made. And by persistent action over the last couple of years, she and her fellow leaders have reached a tentative deal with county commissioners to create a homeowner care fund, a pilot program that will help longtime homeowners like her who spend more than 30% of their income on housing costs. That includes $1 million for a crisis intervention program, $1.5 million for a major home repair fund, and $1.6 million toward an affordable home development program. The night she told her story at St. Ambrose, she stood in front of over 450 Wake County residents in person and online, as well as candidates for the Raleigh City Council. Every candidate present, 18 of them, the large majority of them, including all three candidates for mayor, said they would support an effort to match the county's funds for the program through City of Raleigh money. This was made possible because of Miss Elaine's persistence. This was made possible by a community that showed up time and time again. This was made possible by a community that thought not of short-term gains or quick results, but of long-term investment. A people persevering, you might say, day in and day out, in season and out of season, come what may. If the unjust judge will rule in the widow's favor, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? Truly, I tell you, he will grant justice. He will grant justice quickly. Amen and amen. Let us not delay. Let us persevere. Let us persist. And let us keep the faith until the day the Son of Man comes. The one who will set things right, and the one who is with us in this fight for the long haul. Amen.